Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Having such a wonderful day on this Friday. I appreciate y'all are joining us for College Football Conversation. Me and Dan and David and all the guests, Brandon Kravitz from 96.9 Down Yonder in Orlando. In hour one, talking UCF. He is Afternoon Drive at 96.9 The Game, talking UCF and Gus's debut season. And he'll find pass catchers and he'll find guys to carry the football. I think he's already done that in the transfer portal. But Nate Craig Myers is reunited with Gus, as well as one of the running backs, Mark Anthony Richards. So they've got some transfers in there. They also got, DeAndre Johnson, I think, transferred from Tennessee. So they've got talent they have imported. But it's getting all of it to mesh in a new system for what the quarterback's going to be asked to do. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Ingram Smith. Always love talking to Ingram from the Noel cast. He and Bud had Bud on the other day talking blue chip. We'll talk Noles with Ingram Smith. And then bottom of the hour, Tim May coming on from the Columbus Dispatch. Going to talk a little Ohio State football. But right now, let me get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, I thought this was already news, but maybe it's now just official because I did see it released by the school. Headline, former LSU running back transfers to OU. That would be Oklahoma Sooners have announced that former LSU four-star freshman running back Kevontre Bradford, kid out of Texas, played in five games for LSU this past season and accounted for 58 yards on 10 carries. So that was his one season in Baton Rouge. He is now transferring to Oklahoma. Will have up to four seasons available. Played in five games, but, hey, it was all a redshirt year if you wanted it to be. So, again, kid out of Lancaster, Texas, 13th best running back from last year's recruiting class, and he now has Eric Gray, and I was going to say Kennedy Brooks, but I guess it's Eric Gray and then Kennedy Brooks, and Kevontre Bradford will get in line there and play for Lincoln Riley. Headline, Miami-Auburn agreed to home-and-home series. Got a couple of these. This is the biggest one. September 1st, 2029, Auburn at Miami. Next year, August 31st, 2030, Miami at Auburn. I wonder, is this the first time that they're going to play since that kickoff classic? Used to be the kickoff. Go Google. I'm not going to go through it. Go Wikipedia or whatever. The original kickoff classic that was played at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. Those are good football games, man. And it lasted probably a decade or so, maybe not quite, and then went away. But one of them, they would take two top teams. Like, it wasn't even on the schedule, okay? You had, I guess, an 11-game regular season then. And after the season was over, the promoters up in Jersey would call around and say, hey, Ohio State, hey, Alabama, do y'all want to meet in a week before you were going to play? You can get a 12th game. And the NCAA was given special approval. They were giving out special approval to certain programs. And then it exploded, and you had like 20 teams playing an extra game, and then most of them weren't, and so they put an end to all of it. Now you can play whatever you want to, wherever you want to, but it's just the same number of games. So they haven't played, I don't think, since that kickoff classic. And then another one, I said I had a couple of these, South Alabama and Army. They have agreed to a home-and-home in 2030 and 2031, first-ever matchups. Take place, they'll be at West Point, 2030, the next year, return to USA. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we will take a break, come back, talk a little Florida State Seminoles next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Follow the visits. I have been told that if you want like a recruiting OG, go back to Jamie Newberg. There's a kid, Fred Rouse, was a wide receiver out of somewhere. And I think he wound up at Florida State and then maybe like UTEP or somewhere. But I was asking him about Fred Rouse about 20 years ago. And he's like, just follow the visits. He's like, that's what it is. And I learned to follow. I've heard that from five other people. Well, when it comes to Florida State right now, I think this is good news. Sam McCall, who, like, Travis Hunter is a five-star who's committed, and he's committed. Sam McCall is a five-star who's like, yeah, committed. Are you committed? Yeah, I'm committed. He was supposed to visit LSU, and I think that trip has been scuttled, I believe. So I know somebody I can ask. I want to welcome on right now from the Nolcast, good friend of ours. It is Ingram Smith. Ingram, how are you, man?
Doing well, Chuck. Doing well. Absolutely. I, as a 9-year-old, I persuaded my mother to let me order Jamie Newberg's Border Wars, and that's how I got, which at the time was a about an 8-page paper article that you'd get twice a month, and that was how the hook got set in me in recruiting. So always enjoy a good Jamie Newberg reference there.
Yeah, and some of it was printed. Some of it was this process called mimeographed, and it would be stapled and just, like, mailed. I used to get from, like, Alan Wallace, Forrest Davis back in the day.
Forrest Davis had his countdown to signing day program, and then his annual that I still have a lot of copies of, absolutely, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the philosophy, follow the visits. It has served me well, because I don't follow recruiting, certainly not like you doing a lot of people, but I do the bird's eye. I was like, follow the visits. What's up with Sam McCall? How Florida State committed is he now that we check back in maybe a month or two after we last talked?
Honestly, I think you about nailed it. I mean, he is committed. He was more a guy who I think kind of Travis Hunter got this year and talked about, you know, coming here and changing the trajectory of the program. And I'm sure that idea probably coincided in a lot of immediate playing time too, but he is committed. It doesn't seem to be written quite as in stone as with Hunter's commitment, but, you know, Florida State fans are really excited. He's certainly one of the pillars of their class. If you want to follow the visits, with another prospect that Florida State's highly involved in and kind of a level of kid to which they haven't been able to get, is there's a 4-star tackle out of Columbus named Elijah Pritchett. That's a kid that has legitimate interest from schools like Georgia and Alabama. Not exactly the, you know, recruiting neighborhood that Florida State lives in right now. Certainly one that they aspire to get back to. But this may be the instance where, with immediate playing time, et cetera, that you can, as a Florida State fan, you could legitimately entertain the idea of beating some of those schools who kind of, you know, run the recruiting yard right now. But that's a kid who's been to Florida State, I think, really 4 times in the last 2 months. And by all accounts, Florida State is doing quite well with him. So there's another prospect to have in the back of your mind.
I didn't know what to expect, because I was like, you know, when the pandemic started, I was like, all right, here's what's likely to happen. And that lasts about 3 days. And I came on the air, I was like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. And so when on-campus recruiting finally came back, there were some people I were talking to, like fans mostly, getting excited like you're supposed to because you're a fanatic, thinking that it was just going to be this trove of commitments. It's gone the other way. It seemed it was easier to get a commitment when you couldn't have on-campus recruiting, because it's been open now for about 3 weeks, and it's still sort of an emerging thing, right?
It is. I mean, I think, you know, one, I think we're – looking at, when you look at year-over-year numbers, you're looking at a real strange situation last year where the elite of the elite, the best 150 kids in the class, had no concerns, knew they would be able to wait. I think a lot of kids pulled the trigger last year more or less to go ahead and save a spot somewhere and to see, you know, well, if visits pick up, if something else goes on. But I want to go ahead and kind of reserve my place at this one school as you know, certainly there was uncertainty surrounding everything and uncertainty of things that were broader than football. So I think you've got kind of a surge that was not going to replicate itself. And then, you know, the reason why everybody thought there were going to be these wave of commitments is that kids finally had a chance to get back on campus starting 18 days ago. And I think they did that and, reminded themselves that, hey, this is not like a Zoom call. This is a totally different experience. I need to absorb a decent amount of this and really get a feel for, you know, where I'm going. And I think really the idea that kids are going to get back on campus and lead to commitments in retrospect was probably a little misguided, but I imagine the commitment process will pick up and you'll start to see, you know, come July, a pretty significant uptick in public declarations.
Follow this man on Twitter, at Ingram Smith. You can hear him on the Nolcast every single episode. I was funny because last time we had you on and I was asking, it was post-spring practice, I remember, and I was asking about depth charts and whatever. And there is another, it's always been a rule, follow the visits. Ingram, it's also been a rule, if a program takes a transfer, it's because he's going to start. And if you brought in a transfer previously and he didn't slide right into left tackle or corner or whatever, you misevaluated. I was listening to after you had come on last time, and I went through like six or seven recruits, and you're like, transfers. And you said, yes, starter, rotation, wave guy, depth guy. It's totally changed the portal. You don't bring in starters. You bring in guys that just you think it's better than the empty scholarship you have.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to address, you know, to address a position group or a position room that you think you've really fallen behind. And, maybe a little bit of an instant fix in an area that, you know, for whatever reason you may find a deficiency in. So you're right. You're not necessarily looking for that plug and play. You're not going and looking for a left tackle per se because you have to have a left tackle starter, although Florida State certainly wouldn't turn one down right now. But it is kind of changing. And, I think we saw some artificial numbers in that last year. I don't know that we'll necessarily see the level of activity in the transfer portal. I think some of this is going to play itself out to where some of these guys declare, don't ultimately either find the place that they thought they would land or the type of school that they wanted. There may be a learning process and a learning curve here that transpires. But, the transfer portal is a very interesting addition to the college football landscape to which, we're only now starting to get our hands around, and it'll probably be a process that takes really 4 or 5 years for people to get a real feel as to how it's impacted the game.
All right, the easy conversation, if you go back like 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons maybe, was, the offensive line stinks. Let's all bash on Florida State because the offensive line, that was easy. I would tell folks, and I wasn't trying to be a wiseacre. I was like, guys, I think the special teams is worse. I'm going to tell you, last year, good coverage, blocked a bunch of kicks. I don't know how Florida State doesn't have somebody who can turn a kickoff 25 yards. But other than the return game, Florida State looked like they were well-coached, and they actually followed through on all the, quote, defensive parts of special teams, coverage and blocking kicks. They were good.
They were much better. I think a lot of people had these aspirations of this kind of significant snapback with a theory that you'd have a little bit more higher-level coaching. And special teams was the only place where you really immediately saw that. And as you said, the unit was as woeful as it could be, really, for a couple of years there. So there was nowhere to go, really, but in one direction. But nonetheless, you don't discount the progress that they made or, think that may be a harbinger of things to come to some extent. But, you want to credit where you find success. At the same time, when you're Florida State football, not having one of the worst units in the country is not necessarily a goal. So
yeah, and flesh out that last part of that, because I wouldn't be in, you know, sarcastic. I'm like, it's Florida State. You can't find somebody to average more than 4 yards on a punt return. Who do you think is going to be? And kickoff returns, I don't even know if that matters anymore. I usually blast it out of the back of the end zone, most teams choose to. But if there is a kickoff to return and then a bunch of punts, handicap that field for us in Tallahassee.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, Travis Jay is a kid that they feel is one of the more dynamic bodies on the roster. Now, how much if he's a starter on defense, it may slightly impact what they're doing. The theory as to what I've kind of currently understand is that they think Jay is their most explosive guy, and then if you need somebody just to go back and catch the punt because you're all but guaranteed the guy's going to do it, is, and they kind of see Keyshawn Helton, the smaller wide receiver, at a panhandle in that role. So you're right. I don't even know if we'll be returning kickoffs in 5 years, and that kind of feels like that's the direction they're going. And with some of the rules and the implementations of them, the kickoff return is kind of going by the wayside. But for the school that produced, you know, T-Buck and Dion and Greg Reed and everybody else and Willie Reed, to not be able to have an adequate punt returner has been a tough pill to swallow.
All right, last question about the current program. Florida State, I mean, everybody's got, like, the most solid dudes in their history, like Warrick Dunn, Derek Brooks, that's the Florida State version. Everybody's got their versions of that. But I got kind of – I realized, you know, sort of subconsciously, I'd gotten used to former players either not commenting or just kind of throwing shade at what's going on in Tallahassee. What is the improving relationships going on between Norvell, the program, and the former greats?
I think that people are, in general, really excited about what they see when they go back to Tallahassee. I mean, that seems to be the word. Now, I don't – you know, you may hear privately if somebody thinks otherwise or something like that, but – to an extent, that's what you expect players to say. But, you know, Norvell has been very open and active in trying to get people back to school. And then, you know, one of the traits that I hear from Norvell, whether you're a big money booster or a running back that played in Tallahassee 10 years ago or 20 years ago, is that almost every conversation you have with that guy is somebody that's, you know, particularly attentive, present, and makes the individual feel, you know, both valued and listened to. And that's as much as you can hope for.
Oh, yeah.
With your alumni reaction as anything, is that you know, give somebody the respect that they deserve, and hopefully that has a positive ripple effect with other alumni who are considering or, you know, soon to return back to Tallahassee. But, no, it's a positive story as for now, and, you know, if – if Florida State's 4-7 come into November, I'm not sure alumni relationships will be fantastic. But, you know, we'll
Charlie Ward, everybody. Give it up for Charlie, everybody. last thing I have to tell you, I voted for Shadetree. I voted for Marvin Jones for the College Football Hall of Fame, and I did not have a vote for him. I had already run out, but because of our conversation, I was like, it's got to be a priority. So I violated protocol and voted for your boy.
Well, Marvin Jones is about as good of a football player at the college level that I've ever seen, and certainly hope he makes his way into the Hall of Fame at some point or another.
Yeah, there's always those all-time greats. You're like, how is he not in yet? And so I told the story. I was like, Ingram alerted me to it, and I was like, I got to take some corrective action. So I wanted to update you on that. Okay, brother?
I'll follow up, Chuck. I appreciate your initial movement on the subject matter.
All right. Ingram Smith from the NOLcast. Appreciate him coming on. And again, we'll catch up with Ingram as we get closer throughout the rest of the offseason, pushing toward August camp and all that. Dan, are you going to ACC Media Days?
That is, I believe, the marching orders.
All right. Why is it overlapping again?
I don't get it.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Birmingham is SEC. There was one year where Swafford and them did it on, like, the Wednesday and Thursday, but most years it's been Thursday, Friday, so it's only one day of overlap. And I remember coming on air, and I was saying, folks, carve it in stone, 11th commandment. Once this becomes, like, the ACC network comes on board, you got to have inventory. There's no way they're going to overlap. That's exactly what they're doing. They're overlapping it. And so we're going to dispatch Dan, I believe, to Charlotte, and I'll be in Birmingham. But we'll give you all those details later.
Spring is here, and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate you getting in for your conversation today. I'm going to label our next guest as an example, and I mean for a huge section of folks that I know are listening to this program right now. He was old school, we'll say, Columbus Dispatch. And I told you, Tim May, you may know him from the Columbus Dispatch. Well, you should. He was there for over four decades now. Tim May is all digital at LettermanRow.com. Want to welcome him on right now. About as good a source you're going to find for the Buckeyes. Tim, how are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty well. I don't know if I'm all digital. I still write a check every now and then.
There you go. And send a card to mom. I said yesterday that if you are hoping for Ohio State to have a fallback this year, I was like, I got bad news. I'm 53 years old. I started watching college football in 1976. I was like, this may be as good an Ohio State team as I've ever seen. And I know we pay so much attention to who left, Justin Fields and Sean Wade and, you know, whoever else. So much is back at so many of these position groups. I want to cover quarterback first. I said there are three good candidates. Two of them are redshirt freshmen. One of a true freshman. They're Ohio State scholarship offers, so you know they're going to be talented. But start putting some names and talents on those three kids that are in the running for quarterback.
Yeah, you know, you got to figure that coming out of spring, just reading the tea leaves, more of the tea leaves than the tarot cards, or however you pronounce that. C.J. Stroud probably was the leader, kid from Rancho Cucamonga. He'd be the first Ohio State quarterback from Rancho Cucamonga, California. So there you got that going for
Fun
you.
Fun fact.
Jack Miller from Scottsdale, Arizona, you know, was the other redshirt freshman in the running. And then Cal McCord, kid from Pennsylvania near Philadelphia, teammate of Marvin Harrison Jr., who we'll talk about in a minute. But those are your three combatants. And, you know, as you watch the spring game, you got to figure Stroud probably looked the most completely competent. Jack Miller had a bad start, but then, you know, played pretty well. But then Cal McCord, this freshman slinger, you know, I thought he got better as the game went on, which was interesting. My point is, that's the only time we've really gotten to watch them play real football, all three of those guys, as a collegian, because obviously of the pandemic last year, the other two, Jack Miller and C.J. Stroud, you know, the only time you saw C.J. Stroud was for a couple of plays when he spelled Justin Fields before Justin Fields got back into the game last year. So, I think it's more of a wide open competition. I think a lot of people are portraying it, but you got to give the edge to C.J. Stroud. But like you just pointed out, I have been around covering Ohio State football beat wise since 1984, and before that I was around. I mean, I covered some games when Arch Leisure was in high school, and but this is the deepest offensive roster I've ever covered at Ohio State, and by deepest I mean with competent players. Yep. And of course, wide receiver, they're loaded. Tight end, they're pretty much loaded, because I think they might have the best tight end in the country. Offensive line, they're like eight or nine deep at least on the offensive line, and they've got five, six guys vying to be the starting running back, including a tremendous freshman, Trevion Henderson. My point is, whoever they decide to put in the give the keys to and let it press the gas, you know, they just want him to get up and go. And that is the linchpin for this Ohio State offense. This offense has gotten better and better and better over the last 10 years, Urban Meyer on to Ryan Day. And, you know, there's a chance this could be as good as it's ever been.
The only other position group, because I was doing a drill down, because I, you know, Southern football fan, that means that you don't like Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, you know, whatever. And I was thinking, well, with Fields gone and all this other talent, my initial pass through, I was like, they may be vulnerable this year. other than quarterback and linebacker, and we'll get to linebacker in a minute, they're just, I mean, they're spilling over with NFL guys. The reason I want to stay on offense for just a second is tell me why Ryan Day's way works, because it could be a one-year starter, it could be a transfer, it could be any situation. His way works. It's yards and points. And he's working with uber-talented kids. I get that. But I literally, as a guy who's not an Ohio State fan, I have a full expectation that I don't know who's going to be for sure, but I think that offense is going to roll right along.
Yeah, there's a good possibility. By the way, I grew up in Alabama and then moved to Texas. I moved up here when I was 22. But that's another story. That was a long time ago.
So you were raised right.
Yeah, well, I went to Alabama home games in the early 60s. As I said before HBO did, I saw Joe Namath play on two good knees, you know. But anyway, back to what you're talking about, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on a couple of heads there, but the biggest head was he getting talented players. And the thing about it is, they're not Ohio State and even Alabama. You know, I put Alabama in this ilk too, and, you know, probably Clemson, but they're not just getting talented players. They're getting, like, guys that are football savvy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are coming in ready to play right now. I mean, you know, yeah, offensive line, you always want to get some experience, some schooling there before you lean on a bunch of, you know, early guys. But, I mean, you know, like I just said a while ago, Marvin Harrison Jr., the son of Marvin Harrison, who everybody remembers, he's just a taller, much taller, bigger version of his dad. Otherwise, he came in, he looked as polished in the spring game, running routes and catching the ball with his hands. You know, well, how did he catch the ball? I'm talking about getting his hands out front, catching the ball instead of cradling. Just all these little things that you just notice in a guy that's going to be damn good, you know, if he gets the opportunities, but also, you know, if a lot of other things break that way. But that's sort of like the level Ohio State's at right now, that many other schools aren't in the sense of the talent they're bringing in. And then if you just, you know, you get quarterbacks right now that are ahead of the game. I mean, from the standpoint of all these 707 camps they do and all the passing they do and all the expert tutoring almost all of these guys get now before they even get to Ohio State or Alabama or wherever. You know, when you parlay that with talent, like you just pointed out, I mean, the key is, as even Woody Hayes said, you know, you win with people and talented people. And that's what Ohio State's got going, which is pretty phenomenal. That doesn't mean you can't be beaten, you know, believe me. But as anybody saw the national championship game, you lose a couple, three key guys and you're, you know, you kind of fall down the peg a little bit. But that's what Alabama's got going more than anything else, is just the talent level, but the competence of that talent level.
Flip it around. I want to ask you about those backers because, I mean, and again, I'm sure there are a lot of Southern fans, and it's not a failing. I mean, you watch your own teams in conference and whatever, that maybe they think that's really what Tuff Borland and Werner were about in that title game. I'm like, no, those were upperclassmen, really smart, really tough guys. But that's my assessment. I have full appreciation. You know what my assessment is now? Next. Ohio State, they've got runners and hitters all over that linebacker core.
Yeah, you know, but that's the – I'm telling you, that's the – when you look at it, I mean, first pass, you want to say, well, they got to do something about the secondary because the secondary was average at best last year and poor in the national championship game. And anybody could see that. I mean, Alabama, you know, scratched exactly where I stayed itched, you know.
Oh, yeah.
defensively with Devontae Smith and then Jalen Waddle getting back onto the field a few times and blah, 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 you know, ad nauseum. But, you know, Ohio State tried to cover the some of his shortcomings in the secondary going into that game. And, well, more shortcomings on the defensive line because they lost three guys they really need in that game with COVID the week leading up to it. But they cut cover by playing four linebackers a lot. Really didn't work very well. And all four of those guys are gone. But the key, you know, is like Taraja Mitchell, for example, a great individual. I mean, he's a great guy and stuff. You've got him, Kevon Pope, Dallas Gant. They've been sitting there for 3 years behind these other guys. And everybody thinks these guys are big-time talent, ready to step up. But, you know, are they? You know, that's the big question. You know, you got Craig Young, a guy. You know how defenses work now, man. You're more looking for that tweener guy.
Oh, if you can't cover, they'll find you.
You could. who could look like a strong safety 1 minute and a rush linebacker the next. You know, I mean, and Craig Young might be that guy. He might be a name to keep in mind if you're watching Ohio State this year. But yeah, I mean, that's a big question mark. And heck, they may even move one of their running backs to a linebacker before it's all done. But Steel Chambers is a guy that's, you know, had a few problems hanging out on the football, and now all of a sudden he was working out with a linebacker somebody noticed the other day when they were just doing their little summer drills and stuff. So, but the bottom line is that, you know, and then secondary, they got to get their act together. They're what you would project is their starting secondary never really got to work together at all in the spring because of injuries, et cetera. And, but there's a guy that could emerge, for example, Josh Proctor could become that big time safety. Everybody thought he could be when he got here 3 years ago from the Tulsa, Oklahoma area. And then they've got three other guys that need to step up, you know, and basically they play in essence a safety and three cornerbacks more than anything else, you know, or a safety and four cornerbacks is the way they play based on who the team they're playing, how much they spread it. But that's definitely those guys and the linebackers are the ones that really need to step up. But the old bottom line is, if you outscore everybody, you know.
That's how you're winning today. Wrapping up with Tim May again. Get him online, lettermanrow.com. Last thing I want to ask you is, give me Kevin Wilson 5 years from now. I mean, does he have stink on him or something? Because he had reasonable success at a place where nobody wins, really, Indiana, until Tom Allen now. And obviously, you know, having the play sheet in Columbus is a pretty good gig. What's his future?
Well, you know, he built the foundation that Tom Allen is building that house on there. And, I mean, definitely Indiana, what an interesting story that is all the way around. Maybe the second or third best team in the Big Ten East right now. But really interesting. When that came out of my mouth and I heard it, it was interesting. But, you know, he had a little bit of trouble. Basically, had some parent complaints or a couple of player complaints when he left Indiana, and whether that has stained him with others looking for a head coach, I'm not sure. You know, Urban Meyer jumped at the chance to get Kevin Wilson just because of his offensive knowledge, his ability, really, to see how an offense can attack a defense. And I'm not, you know, I know that sounds trite, but, you know, he's a really good line coach, for example. He and Studrawa have really, they've really turned around the fortunes of the Ohio State offensive line group, in my opinion. You know, Ohio State's always had five or six linemen that could play, but now they've got eight or nine, and it's turned into a little bit of a lineman you, for example. They're going to have Paris Johnson Jr., maybe the best lineman in the country 2 years ago. He's probably going to start one of the guard spots. I'm talking about in recruiting-wise. He's going to start one of the guard spots probably. I mean, this has a chance to be a real mash-em kind of offensive line, because they have maybe the best tandem of tackles in the country.
Right.
With Thayer Mudford and Nicholas Petit-Frere. So, Kevin's one of the great guys. I mean, you know, you're speaking like you've talked to him before. He's one of the great guys you'll ever just sit down and talk with. And that's what I like about Kevin Wilson. I mean, he's an entertaining dude, but he also knows his football. I mean, he was on those Oklahoma he was an offensive coordinator down in Oklahoma back in some of those heydays, you know. So I think he'll get another shot at a head coaching job one of these days, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the entire trend in college football especially is, hey, who's coaching offense? Let's give him a headset.
The key is to get a guy like that, but a guy who's been a head coach, who knows what it takes to be a head coach, not just what it takes to call a play on third and four, you know?
And he is when he got hired, I was like, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be yards and points. That's absolutely what it's going to be. Tim, I thoroughly enjoyed that, brother. Thanks for making time today. Thank you.
Hey, anytime, man. Let me talk so much.
All right, Tim May again from lettermanrow.com. And Kevin Wilson, like I said, I wanted to phrase it properly. And it's not like serious stuff, but there was some stink on him. And it's an interesting point because, I mean, like, I'm remembering correctly, Mike Locksley, like, punched one of his assistant coaches or something. I don't know. Go back and look at Mike Locksley when he was in New Mexico. There's all kinds of stuff. He's head coach at a Power 5 program now. I wonder if it's because it's just been like 5 or so years since he left Indiana, and I wonder if that's the kind of stuff that in today's environment, what's your reaction with kids? What's your, you know, what's your relationship? How do you treat that? It's just not really what plays. And I wonder, and I don't know that, by the way. I'm just wondering if because of that particular reason. He just signed a 5-year contract at Indiana, and then he and the university a year later parted on mutual agreement that we're going to split. I'm like, that didn't happen. It's like when they told me, you know, was it Nussmeier left Alabama on his own because he wanted to be OC at Michigan? I'm like, that's not true. It's not true. Tim May, I appreciate him coming on. All right, we're going to break. We will come back. Wrap up on Friday next.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I don't think you need the athletic director, either myself or Josh Brooks, to hype this game. It is just on a different level, and we are so honored to be a part of it, and we want to we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be an exciting day at Bank of America Stadium up in Charlotte.
D-Rad, Dan Radakovich, athletic director at Clemson. That's a great job to have. Also referencing Josh Brooks, the new AD in Athens, Georgia, and their pending week one game in Charlotte. You know, it's a full bore, 100% buy the tickets, packet, man. It's going to be great. And I agree that by matchup, I think Alabama is going to be one versus Dan, Miami. One versus 9, one versus 10.
I'll go 11.
Okay, one versus 11. Clemson, Georgia, this is 2-3, 2-4, 3-5. This is something at 3-5. No, this will be 2 of 2, 3, and 4 playing each other in Charlotte, kicking the thing off. And I remember one year we were voting on Chick-fil-A Bowl matchups, and Clemson and Georgia was in the consideration. And I was like, guys, we don't have to manufacture any sort of, you know, hey, Texas A&M and Duke, you know those fan bases don't like each other. And they're like, what? It's like, yeah, we won't have to do that if it's Clemson and Georgia. That's a great rivalry. And it goes back, I mean, decades and decades. It goes back centuries. It goes back to the 1890s. I think it was, I'm going to get the details wrong, but this is pretty close. Danny Ford and Clemson, they got into a pattern where, actually it happened a couple of times. He got Nigerian soccer players, and I think there were two of them, Obeid Ariri, and I think the other guy was Donald Igwebuike. And I think they both played in the league. But they were soccer players, and so Danny Ford, you got to remember, this is like early 80s. He was one of the first coaches who was like, there ain't one kid in this school kick football 70 yards off a tee. I'm going to the soccer fields. He went to the soccer fields. He was like, who you got? Well, I got these two kids. You ever kicked a football? They don't speak English. All right, well, we're going to teach you to kick football. NFL careers. I think it was Donald Igwebuike. He played for the Vikings maybe later, but Kevin Butler was the Georgia kicker, and I believe it was Igwebuike was the Clemson kicker, and the team, the score was tied 16-16. And I've never seen this before, but the ball is basically around midfield, and I think it was Danny Ford that sent his kicker out there to attempt like a, I mean, where you spotted it, it was like a 67-yard field goal or something, and they missed. Vince Dooley was like, all right, we'll just spin it around. I've never seen field goal attempts on consecutive plays. And I think they both missed, I think. But I remember that there were field goal attempts. And think about the math involved to have field goal attempts on consecutive plays. There was a year where Butler nailed a 60-something yarder to win it. David Treadwell did that. The 82 game was epic. Georgia was the 80 national champion. Clemson was the 81 national champion. ABC is like, throw them together. It was the original Labor Day night game, 1982. The previous 2 years national champions played each other in Athens. It's just a tremendous series. And it's back, not only in Charlotte this year, but they're taking it back to campus in the future as well. And so it's just a long, long history and just great games between those two. And I have no idea what the teams will be like in 24, 25, 28, whatever, but I know they're throwing books for future matchups. What up, Dan?
Not much.
By the way, that's my closing argument. Alexander Schnarr and Associates.
There you go. That works. We have paid up on our deals. Clemson is a team that obviously goes head-to-head with Alabama in terms of who's superior, who's the best, which right now Alabama is. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. In terms of anybody challenging them right now and a chance for them to fall out this season, I don't even think we're there yet, and I don't even think we're close, because I believe in Dabo Swinney, not only from what he's done Saturdays in and out, but also to the recruitment and keeping that coaching staff together the way they have. Chuck, there's nobody in that conference that's anywhere close to even being up in the conversation of you saying, uh-oh, Clemson needs to watch out for these guys. In Alabama's case, in the SEC, they're absolutely is that. You look to Athens, you look to Baton Rouge, you look down to Gainesville, Florida, there are teams that are at least closer to them than the gap that is between Clemson and everybody else in the ACC right now. Because we even talked with Bud Elliott the other day of the blue chip ratio of saying, hey, North Carolina's recruiting well. You know, they're really upping the talent level there in Chapel Hill, but they're not even anywhere close to being in the 50% that you need to be in order to be part of the blue chip ratio.
How foreign does that sound? Hey, the UNC Tar Heels are part of the blue chip ratio in college football. Doesn't fit.
It doesn't. I mean, they've had great talent in the past, but it's not necessarily a school that you look at and say, oh, yeah, hey, you got to look out for the Tar Heels this year. Because aside from the Georgia game, I get it. That's a game that everybody's looking at. And even though Clemson is favored, it seems like right now the momentum that people are looking at this game with seems to be going towards the Georgia side, especially with the transfers they've added this offseason. I get it. All those different types of things. But you look at the rest of their schedule. Boston College? No. At Pittsburgh? Maybe. Florida State? Not yet. There's nobody in that conference that you look at and say, yeah, hey, Clemson, look out for these guys. Clemson's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and they got South Carolina waiting on them at the end of the schedule as well. And right now, you know what that game isn't as well. Yeah, and the thing about the Georgia-Clemson matchup, if I don't know what it was, 6 months ago, you looked, hey, how's Clemson going to look? Well, you took their number one corner, not just took them off the board, which would have hurt Clemson, you put it on the other side of the board. Georgia's side, so yeah, a lot to overcome, but absolutely, that doesn't change my outcome. I think it's just going to be, it's coin flip, it's a 31-30 sort of ball game. All right, wraps it up on a Friday and for the week. Be back Monday. More college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.